Let me tell you guys, it's good to be back in the South. Now, I mean, the Southeast now, not the Southwest, because we were so close to Mexico there in Arizona, it was kind of ridiculous. This evening, I don't want to go into too much detail about what we'll be doing overseas. Instead, I would just want to share really the Lord's faithfulness in the past, really the past number of years, and just testimonies of how God has been so good to us in our journey to getting overseas to Indonesia. And of course, our last step so far was the training in Arizona. Now, the location where we were stationed, I don't know, based, compound, all of those nasty words, which basically means where we all lived, was only 20 miles from the Mexican border. And so that's where most of my flight training was, but some of the flight training was at this little airstrip. And this little airstrip, it's nicely on a hill about 1 mile from the Mexican border. And it really helps to have friends in the Border Patrol. We had a friend from church who we got to know very well. He was a horseback Border Patrolman. So he would go out and ride on horses looking for illegal immigrants. So one day we're flying around here at this airstrip, and after landing I pull my phone out to contact my wife because she's doing flight following. If you don't know what flight following is, that's basically them keeping track of where we're at. We do position reports. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing. This is how long we'll be here. So that if we don't report the next time, they know to where to start looking. And basically getting in practice for being overseas. Because we have to do that. If not by cell phone, then by a long-range radio. So I pull my phone out to do that, and I notice there's a missed call from my friend in the Border Patrol. I'm like, oh boy, I'd better check this voicemail here. I check it out, and he's like, is that you in the plane at such and such a spot? I'm like, yes, that's us. We're there. Don't worry. We're just practicing. If we were drug runners, we would have landed, grabbed the stuff, and gone. But we're here. We're just going and doing more takeoffs and landings. We're staying here, so don't worry about it. So as we're flying around, more there, practicing takeoffs and landings, my instructor and I, we noticed, it's like, oh, there's the Border Patrol truck, and there's the horse trailer back behind there. So, yeah, he's out here, and do a few more takeoffs and landings. And then we see two horses with guys riding on them. And it's like, finally, I got to see my friend at work. A couple takeoffs and landings later, we look and we see that there's three guys walking in between the two horses. So next time I landed, I pull out my phone and I text him, and I'm like, looks like you got three UDAs, undocumented aliens. And his reply was only two words, with drugs. That was the life that we lived down there. Different culture there. The Walmart, the nearest Walmart that we would go to was right there on the Mexican border. People would take their shopping carts full of stuff, push it to the border crossing, then grab their bags and leave the shopping cart there. Thankfully, they wouldn't take the shopping cart over into Mexico, but that was just normal. And none of the cashiers spoke any English, so it was a cultural experience for sure, getting us ready for going overseas. But you know, as I mentioned, this was just this last final step after a long process of training. And many of you guys know that went through 4 years of training with Compass, and then a year and a half in Missouri, and then 9 months in Arizona, and all of this while heading towards Indonesia. And the Lord had really burdened on our hearts that we wanted to go to Indonesia. That's actually why we started looking around, trying to decide, okay, who can I fly with in Indonesia? And the Lord narrowed that down to new tribes, but, you know, the first thing that they said was, well, we don't really need a pilot or mechanic in Indonesia. Now, there were some delays along the way in our time at Compass Aviation while working there getting maintenance experience. You know, what I expected to maybe take a year, 2 years at most, ended up taking 4 years just because of different delays. But the Lord worked that out. You know, He gave me a lot of different maintenance experience during that time. And then when we finally went with new tribes and started their missionary training, well, we finished up all the required stuff, but the Lord just laid on my heart, listen, Jamin, I want you to take an additional 6 months learning the tech specialist course, missionary technology. What do missionaries use overseas? You know, the solar panels and their electrical systems and welding, small engine repair, generators, things like that. We just heard a testimony from a missionary in the Philippines where their batteries are now dead for their solar equipment. So they're having to rely on the generator, but now their generator just broke. And so they're looking for either replacement parts or a replacement generator. And so now they're having to just live without any electricity at all, with candlelight, and that really hinders the Lord's work. So I figured, you know what? It'd be really good for me as a pilot going in and out of these different places to have this experience. But that meant an extra 6 months before we could even go back to the aviation program. So all of these things which look like delay after delay after delay. And it's like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing delaying us this long? Well, we get to Arizona, and throughout all these delays, New Tribes has been saying, well, we still don't need a pilot or mechanic in Indonesia. Well, during our time there, turns out that my flight instructor had just come back from Indonesia. He had been flying there full-time, and they had asked him, hey, can you come back to the United States to be the full-time flight instructor for new pilots going overseas, for all over the world? You know, can you do that? So he agreed to do that. So I was able to get a lot of tips from him about flying, and great experience there. But during this time, there's three people in the leadership team of New Tribes Aviation, New Tribes Mission Aviation. There's three people in charge of that. Well, during this time, we were expressing to, you know, different ones as we had opportunity over meals. It's like, you know, we really have a heart for Indonesia. And the answer was still, that's great. We love hearing this. We love hearing your passion, your desire to serve. And yeah, it looks like you'd be a great fit for Indonesia, but I'm sorry, we just don't have a need for a pilot there right now. So it doesn't really make sense to send anybody there if you wouldn't be flying. Or even a mechanic. We don't have a need for a mechanic there right now. And that was the story over and over. So we expressed it to one. Still same answer. Expressed it to two. Same answer. Meanwhile, the third one is talking to the people in Indonesia. The aviation program that's already over there. And this third guy, he's saying, hey guys, you know you're going to need a pilot within the next 2 years. And they're like, no, we don't need a pilot here. We're fine. He's like, no, listen, you've got Darren, who just came back to the States full-time, so that's one pilot down. You've got so-and-so, who's going to be coming back, you know, to take care of his father, who's got cancer, and he's told us that he's not returning. It's indefinite. So that's two pilots down. And then in 2 years, you've got so-and-so, who's coming back to the States for a furlough. So in 2 years, you're going to be down by three pilots. And the people in Indonesia were like, oh my goodness, you're right. We need to get on this right away. So this the third member of the leadership team there comes back to the other two, and he's like, man, we need somebody to go to Indonesia, but there's a problem here. They can't just be a good pilot. They also have to have a lot of maintenance experience and be a very good mechanic, too, because we're going to be putting them in a situation where we're actually low on pilots, understaffed, and they're going to have to work on the plane too and be completely responsible. So we have to trust them with a multi-million dollar aircraft and the upkeep of that. Well, man, the only one who's qualified right now in the hangar is Jamin, because he had all these years of experience at Compass Aviation. So would the PECs consider going to Indonesia? So isn't it so neat how the Lord worked it out? This was at the New Tribes facility working on this plane, the Brazil 206. It's a plane that's now going down to Brazil. I was able to head up the inspection on that. And this is the plane that I will be flying in Indonesia and maintaining. It's a $2 million aircraft. So it's kind of a big responsibility when they say, okay, you know, in a couple of years, so-and-so is going to be leaving for furlough, and you are entirely responsible for this piece of equipment. It's like, whew, okay. But really, we've seen how the Lord worked it out incredibly in his timing, because if we had gone any sooner to Arizona, then they would have said, nope, still no need for a pilot in Indonesia. Instead, consider going to Papua New Guinea or to Brazil. And we had prayed about those, but we just never really had peace about it. But the Lord worked it out incredibly, perfectly in his timing so that we can. So with that news, we started the whole process of getting ready to go to Indonesia. And we met with some people who were back from Indonesia on furlough. And there are some of the leadership, not just of the aviation program, but all of the New Tribes work in Indonesia. And we got to talk with them, and they invited us to join them, on the field there, after a preliminary application and discussion there. And they said, all right, we're going to get you into the language school. It's one of the best language programs that New Tribes has to offer of all the countries around the world. We're really excited about that. And they're saying, all right, right now we're a little understaffed there, but we're going to try to pull a few strings, get some stuff worked out. And so go ahead and start planning to leave the United States for Indonesia in November. So plan for that. Like, all right. So with that plan, we went ahead and packed everything up in action packers to send to Indonesia. And we sold all of our furniture there, and we got on the road. Well, meanwhile, after 2 months on the road, they tell us the Indonesian Multi-Language Acquisition Center, where you're supposed to go when you first get in the country, it's full. And all of those plans to get other language helpers, they fell through. So instead of being able to come in November, plan on March. Okay. What are we supposed to do during this time? We're already scheduled to, or planning to be at this one location, which is, it's pretty far from anything that we are really involved in, but it's a great location for just 2 months before we head overseas. So, that worked out fine for our original plan, right? But now, that doesn't really work for an additional 6 months. So we're thinking to ourselves, Lord, what are you doing? What are we supposed to do now? And we had this plan. We had it all worked out. We have all of our belongings packed and ready to go, and we don't have any furniture. Should we look for a place to rent? Well, good luck finding a place to rent which is furnished, right? It seems like a very poor investment of your finances, Lord, to buy furniture for just 6 months. So we started praying and looking around, and oh, man. They had told us that you've only got about a 15 to 30% chance that you'll be coming in November. It's only if somebody drops out or a miracle happens. Chances are pretty slim. So, okay, well, we'll pray about it. We prayed about it. We keep praying about it. And it's really easy at that point to start worrying. And be like, okay, man, I've got all these responsibilities here. Even just with all the gifts that the Lord's given me, my maintenance abilities, my flying, what should I be doing? God, shouldn't I be using this? Be active right now. And the worry can really start eating up at you. What do people think? That I'm sitting around for 6 months doing nothing? Okay, I've got to be engaged somewhere. I've got to be doing something. So maybe I should go back to Compass and help out there. At least that way I can stay fresh on all my maintenance skills and even brush up on all my flying. And it's but where do we live? If we're going to be close to there, then, oh man, we've got to move from where we were going to stay. So we started looking around and telling people about our needs. And this is one place that was offered to us. It was just the third story of this building. The rest of the house was occupied by a family, but they had a third story, an apartment way up there. It was an ideal location, but, oh man, do you know how much noise four little redhead kids can make tromping on your ceiling? So we were like, ah, man, it's great that we've got this offer, but it just doesn't seem right. So, Lord, what do you want us to do? As I said, it's really easy to start worrying then and take all of these responsibilities onto ourselves when it's really the Lord's responsibility. He was the one who gave that delay, and so, man, okay, give it back to the Lord. Lord, whatever you want. You know, if it means that I've got to sacrifice my desire as a man to be working and providing for my family in a normal way, then okay, Lord, I'll sacrifice that. But it doesn't seem to make sense, you know, that you'd have me waste this time, so to speak. Well, obviously, wouldn't be wasting the Lord's time because we'd be doing other things, investing in the church and investing in other people, but it just didn't seem to make sense. But with that, I want to just transition a little bit here into an illustration here. This is one of our training flights in Arizona. A GoPro camera mounted to the wing of the plane. And that's me throwing something out of the plane. This is package drops. Okay? Now, remember all that stuff about worry and all that. I'll get to that in just a second. But this is package drops. And when we do package drops, we practice this because overseas, there are some situations when you're flying that you can't land the plane. Now, ideally, you land the plane, you give the people the package, everything's normal. A normal situation is a lot less dangerous than one which is abnormal, right? When you're driving down the road and you're doing the normal thing, it's like, okay, yeah, you're fine. But you add all sorts of other crazy stuff, like, you know, a hurricane or something, you know. Like, okay, something abnormal, or you're in a new part of town that you're not familiar with, well, that's when the risk increases, right? Well, same thing with aviation. If we could land, we would land. But this is for situations where you can't land. There either is no airstrip or the airstrip's under construction. Now, my flight instructor, he gave a story about how he was doing this when the airstrip was under construction. Instead of throwing a little bag of flour out, you know, aiming for a target, he was actually throwing the payroll for all the people working on the airstrip. He let go of it a little late and it went flying over into the jungle. They had to chop their way in and eventually they found it and everybody got their money and they were happy. But he told us, you know, it's important, yes, to get it close to your target. But what's more important is not that, but instead you fly the plane. If you notice, I don't throw the package out and then go, hey, where's it going? Because that's not safe. People have killed themselves flying because they've looked at where the package went. We also trim the plane. We make it so that if you let go of the controls, it'll pull up. Because other people, they're like, okay, where's the package going? And they descend down into trees or into the terrain, or they drift off and hit a mountain and they crash. So the moral of the story there is, once it's out of your hand, you don't worry about it. It's not your job anymore to worry about it. Your job is to fly the plane. You have this thousands of dollars worth of equipment in your control. You focus on that right now, not the little package that you just let go of. Matthew 9:35-38 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, just last week, we got news. It's like, okay, you know, package is out of my hands. I shouldn't be worrying about this. It's not my responsibility. The Lord brought this situation into my life. Okay, yes, I'll be responsible, but that doesn't mean that I have to worry about it. So we just gave it to the Lord. We prayed, and you know what? We didn't pray with very much faith. We were like, man, 15 to 30% chance? Really? Like, okay, well, oh, ye of little faith, right? But the Lord answered. The Lord answered, and just last week I was able to share with you guys that we got the good news that we can make it work, guys. You're coming in November. It's like, whew, wow. You know, the Lord's timing really is perfect. Throughout all those years of the training, we saw how His timing was perfect. Even now, even with a delay or no delay, His timing is perfect. It's not our job to worry. Instead, it's our job to give it to the Lord in prayer. This shows where we'll be in language study. We're at the first circle over on the left is where we'll be going to the language school. And then after about a year to a year and a half of studying language and the culture there, then I'll get back into flying again. And we'll be moving over to the Moluccas Islands. And that's where we'll be stationed indefinitely. But, you know, as we go and we have our time of prayer, I just want to challenge you guys. Are you worrying about things or are you just praying about them? Because it's possible to pray and worry at the same time, but what does the Lord tell us to do? He tells us not to worry, but instead to present all of our requests to Him. So that's my challenge to you guys, and I hope that that's an encouragement to you just to see how, you know what, the Lord still works things out. He is an incredible God. My amount of worry couldn't change a thing in the whole situation, just like I couldn't change where that package was going as soon as it was out of my hands. There is no sense in me focusing on that. Instead, I focus on what God has given me as a responsibility. In the illustration, that's just flying the plane. For each one of us, there are situations in our lives where we could worry about it. But it's the Lord's responsibility. Yes, we do have a part to play. We do have jobs to perform. But we need to know our limits. We need to know our boundaries. We need to know where to stop taking responsibility for things that aren't ours to take responsibility for. It's the Lord's work. As one gentleman told me, he said, how much burden does a janitor carry regarding the company for which he works? How much burden does he carry? His job is simple. You just mop the floor, clean it up. That's your job. It's the CEO's job, right? To take care of the whole business and run everything. Well, it doesn't make much sense if we, as janitors for the Lord, if we try to take on the CEO's responsibilities. The Lord, He's got His plan. He's the one who can worry about it, right? But our job is to be responsible with the little that He's given to us. So we'll go ahead and I'll close this time in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and take requests and split up. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your love. God, it's amazing to see just in our lives how You have been faithful through the years. This story has been years in the making, and yet we see how Your hand has guided throughout. And for that, Lord, we're thankful and grateful. And right now, we just praise You for working things out now for us to be able to go to Indonesia in November. And once again, just a testimony of how gracious You are, even though we are not deserving of Your grace, that You lavish it out upon us. And for that, we thank You. And tonight, as we go to prayer and as we present our requests to You, make them known to each other as well, that, Lord, we wouldn't worry, but instead we would just pray, that we would return things into Your hands and out of our own, that You would lift the burdens from our hearts and our minds. We ask this because we want to be more effective for You. So we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.